Hey, Rex.
Yes.
How's it going?
It is going okay. How you doing?
Not bad.
I am watching. Are you familiar with a company called Wormwood? They do a bunch of.
Oh, like, the die, like the. Yeah. The wooden die trays and stuff.
Yep. So they've just launched a Kickstarter for a modular gaming table system. Oh. It's really nice.
Did I hear Kickstarter?
Yes,
stand
you
by.
Did. So I jumped in and pledged because they just, like, they funded in minutes. They're like at $4 million now.
Holy crap.
And the longer you wait,
Wormwood,
the longer you have to wait for your table. Yeah. Yep. So now I'm kind of doing my due diligence after the fact about sure. You know, how confident am I in their ability to deliver. Because the Kickstarter runs to like October 9th. But it is a pretty big investment. So
yeah, gaming tables are not usually cheap.
Yeah. And these guys are interesting because they put a ton of stuff out on YouTube that you would not normally. It's very transparent, although I do think they're very like social media savvy. So I think some of it's contrived transparency. But still, I mean, it's far more than you get from the vast majority of Kickstarters about, like, you know, what their actual, you know, budget is and their production plan. And basically, they're acquiring a traditional furniture manufacturing company in order to be able to mass produce these gaming tables. So
yes, I'll back it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty expensive, Doc. So it's.
You're trying to make me back it now, right?
Well, yes. although I don't know
if you can handle it, Doc.
Because I actually spent some time quasi arguing with one of the local guys who's just kind of a Debbie Downer. So he's like, well, how can they afford to do this table? Be prepared to be disappointed, because he bought like a Carolina gaming table, you know, an old fashioned, you know, small shop, you know, custom order.
They're
going to
mass produce these items.
They're mass producing them, but they look really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, mass production can work.
Right. So they're competing with the other mass-produced tables, like the Jasper from Board Game Table and the Game Changer from Ultimate Gaming Table, and they're going to be more expensive than that, but they're not custom handmade table expensive, so
right.
I'm not going to say the number because I've not yet spoken to my wife about.
Is she going to listen to this? That you, or is she going to overhear you saying the number?
I just know my luck.
Her ears perk up.
Yes, but she'll awake for a moment.
I heard something $100.
Oh,
so many $100.
Well, you don't have your own separate credit card that you keep secret.
Not that he's going to admit while we're recording.
Statements into a post office box and
no. Okay. So here's the interesting thing: I don't hide anything from my wife, and my wife almost never checks.
Well, this campaign is going to go on for 60 days. Jesus Christ.
But they're already out to fulfillment in like
2022. Yep.
So, like I jumped on like 15 minutes after it started, and I got an October of next year delivery. Run because they have a finite amount that they can produce in the facility. So they're making some noise about trying to ramp up a little bit, but I don't think there's going to be a meaningful acceleration in it. So, but it looks really nice. And I've waited years for a custom gaming table, so I can wait another one if it's.
Remember, you mentioned it before, yeah.
I have now a gaming room. I have a place to put a gaming table.
Of course, here's the dangerous part. So they blew through all their stretch goals, you know, in the first hour. Mm-hmm. And their $3 million stretch goal was a quote-unquote war gaming table, which I think they use that term to basically mean like miniature war gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting to see what they actually drop as the war gaming table. And I have this picture of like people going into my game room and like having to like inhale to slide into the next to the table.
And it's like a stand table.
Yeah, this is like, great. Yeah. Could you lean over and get that? Because I can't lean any.
You need a topside creeper.
Exactly. So anyways, occupied the non-working.
$300 in the upper left corner of the matrix for a maple Lilliput. Yeah, it's $300 or more.
Yes. Once you see the topper price, you're like, whoa, I didn't think a topper would be so much. But again, I will say to their credit, like you go through their Kickstarter, they've got all kinds of videos about like, this is how you assemble it. And this is, you know, our commitment to quality. And this is why, you know, you're getting, you know, how durable is this furniture? What's really neat about the table is they have different sizes, but there's a common width. And it's a truly modular table. So you could get the medium table, but you could also buy the expansion kit and do it yourself at home. You can convert your medium table into a large table, or you could go the other way. So that's, to me, is a big draw, that I could buy an expansion kit. So down the road, if I get a bigger game room, I already have my table to fill the bigger game room. So. Anyways, that's been my conspicuous consumption for the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got 2 fucking months to decide. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You actually haven't consumed anything yet.
That is true.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how this goes. I wonder why they thought they needed 60 days, but interesting. A lot of interesting. Well, all right. I've signed up.
Good man.
Did 300, and then I assume you up it from there.
Yeah, they actually have a pretty cool, they call it their visualizer, where you can basically build your table and it'll tell you, okay, if this is what you want, this is what you need to pledge in order to get this. So,
Rex making me spend money.
This episode brought to you by Wormwood. Got Wormwood.
Is everybody here? I think we got everybody, right?
Is Jason coming?
Oh, he's here. He's muted.
Love you.
Muted. Nice.
There he is. Ty's here. This is everybody, I think, right, that I had on the list.
My Zweihander PDF was obstructing the Discord window.
Oh.
Foreshadowing?
Yes. I know you're going to talk about it. Here's the welcome and disclaimer. So welcome to the advance after... alcoholic adventure cabal, whatever the hell we are. I'm going to jump ahead to what I'm drinking. I'm drinking something pink because I forgot to label it, but it's really good, and I'm pretty sure it's Everclear. So, anywho, it's going down easy. This is our roundtable where we bloviate about RPGs. We all have the emotional intelligence of 14-year-old boys. So if things that you would overhear 14-year-old boys talking when they're alone offends you, don't listen. So there you go. Let's and you guys are all crusty GMs, right? We've all done the intro. Everybody's been on a round table.
Back in my day.
That's right. Well, I had all the young, fresh ones yesterday.
That's right.
So, how'd that go?
It was excellent. Yeah, those guys, I teased them a little because there were a couple things said, like, oh, because we – yeah, we wound around a System Matters and you know, had an interesting discussion. And I stood up for System Matters.
Nice.
But Art had a really interesting comment, which I will bring up later. And I told him, oh, I'm just going to pretend I thought of that. So, but yeah, they all had really great backstories and insights and talking about how, you know, what systems would be good for new GMs and what systems are good for new players and how they're different, all kinds of great stuff. So,
and some of those guys were new to GMing in the guild, but not GMing.
Correct. Hollywood had GM'd quite a bit. I mean, and he's, I mean, his nickname is probably the most appropriate. I mean,
he's yeah, he ensconced.
Yeah, he likes to do voices. You know, he's been GMing his family for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think Art had only done his kids. And
okay, that was more than that. But okay,
no, I'm pretty sure he had just
for done family. I think
family.
I think yeah, but brothers in there.
Yeah, mostly kids though was the sense I got. And then, yeah, I mean, well, it was a raucous crowd.
When Art was in prison, he ran a game for his cell block, didn't he?
That's right. Okay. I was going to say.
I like it. Okay. Yeah.
Recruiting kids on the street to play. Or
it must have been white collar prison. Although we got, there was a lot of people that, yeah. And then we had Mark. I mean, I was like, you know, sometimes, yeah, they were all so fucking nice. It made my teeth hurt sometimes, but it was good.
I'm just happy to be here.
It was good. And of course, you know, I was like, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to let you guys talk. But then I look at the audio. I'm like, you know, they're blah, blah, duck, blah, blah. But anyway, I told them, I was like, I won't be able to shut up. And they knew it. So it's fine. But I did, you know, I did let them go as much as those three guys. I mean, Hollywood will talk, but Art and Mark are like, Mark, what do you think? And then he would talk, but right, you know, it's like, butt in. It was good. It was a good session. So
that's cool.
Why don't we start with what we're drinking? I've already said what I'm drinking. Backdoor, what are you drinking?
I've got a Trader Vic's Grog going tonight.
Ooh, nice. I saw you with the tiki stuff. Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Ooh, smooth. And do you have a new puppy?
Yeah, we do. So we did a trial run with one and he didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But we met this guy this afternoon and it was like, this is what we're looking for. So nice. Knock on wood, he's been perfect so far. He's a German short-haired pointer lab mix.
This is your second dog?
Well, this is our third dog. We had two, we were down to one, so now we're back up to two.
And are you sure you can handle two dogs? I mean, I was talking to your aunt. We had some concerns.
Don't even get me fucking started. You know, when Christmas rolls around and we're hosting, my comment will be, you know, Aunt D is what I'll say. You know, dogs could just bite at any time, so why don't you just stay home this Christmas?
He's a monster. Oh,
fuck you.
How does one try out a dog?
Well, so a lot of places, I don't know if they normally do it, but the first place we went to was doing Zoom only, and so there was a period where we could return them since we weren't able to interact with the dog with our daughter and other dog.
Oh, you picked it over Zoom, and so they're kind of like, yeah, that's not... Mm-hmm. Right. Real.
That's
like
probably wise. Like, yeah, you don't want a bad fit. That's just bad for everybody.
Right. And then we real quickly realized he was like, we had another dog that had a lot of issues before we had a kid anyways, and I'll make this really short. He was fucking nuts and we're like, "Oh, this dog's a lot like Arcade. Oh, wow, look at that. He's cute. Oh, he's a lot like Arcade. Oh boy, he's a lot like Arcade." Okay, we're going to. And then he had a lot of issues. And I'm not dealing with that with the fucking 10-month-old running around. So, this is much more what we're looking for.
Nice. Nice. All right.
So these are adoption, you know, rehoming type things.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of adopting, not buying.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I was reading.
Do you want to see all three of my dogs' papers? Because we're snooty.
Really? Wow.
I'm not gonna knock it.
Not my choice. No, I know. I'm just teasing.
Well, no, I'm just saying, Matt, I read on Facebook that China apparently has flooded the country with a lot of secret attack dogs.
Best argument opener ever. I read on Facebook.
And this is why I don't know what's going on because I'm not on Rocket anymore. I can't be around any of you people.
Did my aunt share it with me? Yep, must have been.
She was worried that someone in her family was going to be fighting.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Wuhan.
Wuhan dog invasion.
Yeah.
Just in time for the election. I love it.
Oh my God. It is rather sad. Oh my God. What are you drinking, Rex?
I'm going to get some advice from my bartender, but on whether I'm doing this right. That being Jason. Mm-hmm. I took 4 ounces of gin and I added.
Already check.
Yep.
Added 3.5 ounces of tonic. Actually, no, 7.5 ounces of tonic. I take that back. And some ice. So is that the right proportion?
It's close enough. Did you put some lime in there?
I didn't, just because I didn't want to take the. My wife actually got one.
I don't know
lime.
Why you put 7.5 ounces in and not 8 ounces.
That's all that fits comes, in the glass.
Oh, that's in the bottle? Okay.
Oh, no, I got my tumbler. Okay. No, it's gotcha. The Walmart canned Schweppes tonic water.
C-A-F.
I never really used tonic water in a can, and it is 7.5 ounces.
Hey, I'm not judgy. It may actually be CAF. I can't drink tonic water, so I don't know.
Yep. So
I think you've done it right.
Yep. So
excellent. Gin and tonic. Jason?
We had breakfast for dinner, so I'm drinking a Black Russian.
Well, that sounds fucking great, right?
I'm drinking a lot of Black Russian. Yeah.
The Brenner, what's in a Black Russian?
It's half Kahlua, half vodka.
Wow. And why does that go with breakfast for dinner?
Because Kahlua tastes like coffee. It's rum and coffee.
I thought the Black Russian was somehow coffee based, and that's why, but okay.
Well, the Kahlua has coffee. Kahlua,
sure.
It's coffee, rum, liqueur.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Ty, what are you drinking?
Goose Island 312.
Nice.
Keeping it local.
In a belly full of onion rings and Chicago dogs.
Oh, nice. Yum. I had wings for dinner, so I'm right there with you. All right. Shall we talk about what we're prepping, playing, planning, and
doing the whole thing?
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, let's reverse the order. Let's go with Ty first.
Yeah, so I've got the One Ring running. The guys are running around the Wilderlands. So Medicine Man and Rex and Carl and Backdoor and Kyle playing. We're about 9 sessions in, finished 2 scenarios, and they're about ready to do their second fellowship phase, which is like the advancement. Right. Improve your skills kind of thing. So that's going pretty well. I've got 2 hex crawls kind of ready to go. And I've labeled them undecided. I've had a DCC hex crawl ready to go since Jason's DCC wrapped up. I was like, well, fuck this. I want more of that. Yeah. And so I've got that fleshed out. And then I've got a mutant crawl classics.
I'm in for both, baby.
Yeah, but this is where indecisive Ty comes in. He doesn't know that he wants to jump in, but he does, but he doesn't, but he does, but he doesn't, but he does, but he doesn't. So
we may touch on this in the roundtable. Like,
I was going to say,
I could use a little help. I could use. A little
I don't
help.
Know that we're going to help you. We're going to make it worse. Yeah, that's yeah, general.
I have, yeah. I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, and then the white event is still out there. I've got 2 sessions under that, but it's been about 2 months. That one's kind of in limbo.
Yeah.
And then I've got a handful of Call of Cthulhu stuff I'm sorting through. And then playing, looks like Twilight 2000s for GURPS is back on with C-Rac.
Nice. Back on the table, boys.
Back on the table. Ducks DCC White Rock.
Yep, coming up.
And I think we're trying to get to the GURPS GEV. session.
Yeah, I'll talk about that. I'll talk about how much someone canceling at the last minute ruins my momentum. But yes, I have that. It's highlighted in red on my sheet. I need to do another doodle.
Yeah, and the because of the sheet, I've been like peeking at other people's lists. And I'm like, yeah. So I've been lobbying behind the scenes to the stuff comes together to get.
Yeah, no, I think the sheet was a great idea. That was back.
I like looking at. Yeah, but whoever it was, say like, let's look at everyone's together. Actually, it was really Zach nice. Rex.
Yeah, somebody or Jason. I don't know. Somebody suggested that. Also a good idea.
No, it wasn't me. It was a brilliant idea, yeah. But it wasn't me.
Yeah, I said it was Ty. Put it for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was Ty. Yeah, it was. It's synergy, man. We're building off each other, creating this shit. Great stuff. Yeah. Changing the paradigm. sorry, okay, I help myself.
So that's cool. That's my deal. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Right, and we'll talk about. Yeah, I mean the white event. I was. Yeah. Well. Okay. I was getting excited for that. But, well. You're not the first GM to let me down. I mean, you've come through in a big way.
For you did it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he did. But you know, I mean, I've been my heart's been broken before, Rex. But of course, I've broken my own number of hearts.
So. Maybe that's a topic. It's like,
yeah,
broken GM relationships.
Although we still interact. Jason, what you prepping, playing?
Right? Yeah, I am running my Voyages of the Soulsound Quixote game. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been once a month open table using Wandering Stars. And I think we have probably, I don't know, as we get to kind of cusps of availability, that might be the one that goes by the wayside. Mm-hmm. Once we kind of flesh out the rules and it goes and does its thing. Also doing Cyberpunk Red.
Right.
In the Cybernetic Dolphin universe, which has been a lot of fun. That's keeping me jazzed. We're going to do Brindlewood Bay in Jersey 83, which I'm super excited for. I think that system will be a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah. I can't wait for Murder. Yeah. Man. That's sorry, I didn't mean to budge in, but.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, that we're about that's the interjection.
And I have an open table murder dungeon using Maze Rats that I had to cancel because I was deathly ill. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I'm prepping. What am I prepping? Not a ton. Because I feel. Like, I don't want to take away from Voyages. I want to take away from Cybernetic Dolphin or Brindlewood Bay. So I'm not really prepping anything. I'm kind of dipping my toes. I have stuff, I guess, pending. I have something else I want to do in Jersey 83, like a two-shot teen horror that should be pretty, hopefully not like as body horror, maybe more suspenseful horror.
I was good with the body horror.
The body horror was fun.
Yeah.
And more stuff in Cybernetic Dolphin, of course. Mm-hmm. Retropunk, I think, is the next one I want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that one.
It looks good.
That one I'm enjoying reading. That one, he's got a lot of good thoughts, just on GMing and stuff.
Yeah. Playing in Pete's Greyhawk. Hollywood's Curse of Strahd, Oddity High, Wraith and Tree of Liberty, Comrades with Leroy, and then a bunch of stuff that's kind of holding and pending. So I think that's enough for me.
Yeah, good. Very nice. Rex, how about you?
Playing. So DCC White Rock, Matt's Aliens game, Ty's One Ring game. We just wrapped Anthony's Simbarum, and I'm contemplating whether I want to pick up with it when he picks up with it in October or not.
How did that go?
It was good.
Is it like season one or the whole thing wrapped?
Yeah, yeah. I'll let Rex. I should not interject. It's Rex's time.
It went well. It was he ran the back of the book scenario.
True. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like most of those back of the book scenarios, it was fairly scripted. Mm. So I think that was a little bit of a challenge. For Anthony to keep us on the script, but make it interesting. There were points where it felt, at least to me, like, okay, clearly the only thing to do is this thing. But I enjoyed it. He did a good job with it. I think we actually threw him for a loop because a couple of the big climactic, quote unquote boss fights, we just rolled whatever that boss was, like in extremely short order without really much peril to us.
Yeah, I think one boss didn't even get to attack us, right?
Yeah.
Maybe both of them. Anyway.
So I think that kind of took them aback. And there's some bar room I'm going to call a medium weight or medium crunch game. And this is going to probably tie into something I talk about later. While it's not rules heavy, I think it makes it difficult for the GM to assess and adjust things on the fly, because there's enough crunch there that you can get caught up in, well, if I adjust this, then what about that, this, that, and the other? And that's kind of one of my decision points about whether I want to keep going with it. I don't know if I want to come to grips with that system, because I'm playing the One Ring with Ty, and I think that's fair to say that that's probably a medium crunch system as well. I feel like I'm just kind of getting to grips with that system and how it works. So I'm not sure how much brain space I have for another fantasy medium crunch system that I'm playing in versus I'm running. But it was good. The art in Symbarum is fantastic. The theme is fantastic. The products are really nice. I just don't know if I personally want to plumb the depths of that system, because I think you need to really get the most out of it. You need to have some system mastery as a player. So that's the open point there. What else am I playing? Comrades, which we've talked about, or Jason talked about. Mm-hmm. Trying to think what else I'm in. I feel like there's my White Rock. There's probably something I'm forgetting, and now I feel terrible. I'll feel terrible later about forgetting it, but I think that's the stuff that's active at this point. I'm running Zweihänder, which I'll talk about more later, for Duck. And I'm in Deus Vault, Art's running. And Art's in the Zweihänder game, C-Rax in the Zweihänder game, and Jesse's in the Zweihänder game. And the game is great as far as like the players and all that. I have some, the Zweihänder system is like that girl that you had no business dating, because about 70% of the time she just annoyed the shit out of you. And you're like, what? And what? But the 30% of the time that it was on. So,
and then you marry her.
Yeah, well, or not.
You're drunk enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
So, if the sex is good.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only thing that I'm actively running right now. Prepping. Fall of Delta Green, 1963. Starting to, put pieces together. We've settled on it taking place in Vietnam. Looks like all the original Fall of Delta Green.
Jason's not going to play that, is he?
How dare you?
This is Jason's dream.
What? Dream. Are you kidding me? No, I'm obviously baiting people. Yeah, I understand.
Jason can tell you about his character concept if he wants.
I bet he could. I bet he had it ready before you even suggested the session.
Yeah, he's been ready for a long time.
So the four original players, I think, are all going to be back, and I may be adding a fifth player to it. We'll just kind of see how that goes. If the, you know, we can get the agent fees agreed and, you know, the image rights all sorted out, then we may have a rock star fifth player come join the game. So that prep is mostly going to consist of me learning a lot more about Vietnam in 1963 than I currently know. So it'll be
I have some books. To,
well, you know, and I threw a few books up in our Fall Delta Green chat, so, but I'm always happy for more.
Jason pushes glasses up onto it.
And I'm reading Forbidden Lands, prepping as a player, because that's probably the thing I'm most excited about trying out.
Too. Yeah.
And Duck currently is going to take the hit and run it so that I can just play in it. Mm-hmm. Although if I enjoy it, I suspect what will end up happening is there are multiple campaigns mm-hmm. for the system that are already out. If Duck runs one of them, I may run the next one after the first one's done. And then I'm considering Conan 2D20 for next year. Ooh, nice. I'll do some thinking on that.
Nice.
But for some strange reason, I started listening to Legend of the Five Ring RPG actual plays.
Ty is sitting here thinking, like, as you list new system. He's like pulling, you know, his hair out. I love it.
No, yeah. I was going to say earlier, I'm the anti-Ty.
Okay.
Ty, like, as he said, he's very careful, and he's going to, he's, yeah, I'm not going to do this because how much work is it going to be, this, that, and the other? And I'm the,
I'd like to throw my hat into that ring.
Yeah, I think we're all the anti-tie. That's all I want to say. Yeah,
there's only tie.
I'm looking in my new game room at the approximately 50 different RPG systems. Mm-hmm. Although two shells are all GURPS, so that's one. But anyway.
Right. Yeah, but I think so Conan 2D20,
nice.
Forbidden Lands, or L5R are probably going to be my big thing next year to try out. So, and ask me at the next round table, and I'll have like three different answers.
Yeah, that's fine.
Too true.
It's fine. So, very nice.
I think that's me.
Very nice. All right, Backdoor, what's happening?
Yeah. Hey, real quick before I dive into this, I'm playing this out on Rocket today. So it's been a year since we recorded Fear Itself.
Right.
And that's pretty awesome because this has been some of the most fun I've had in a hobby ever, and really that's in large part to you guys, because anyone else I try to put, like, I'm running this 5e in real life, and I've tried to run games with my brother and sister before, but everyone's so fucking flaky in real life, and you guys aren't, and so this has been a blast, and so I'm just gonna say thanks, because I've had a lot of fun.
You've been just
a great,
yeah, back at you're here. You're a good player and a good GM, man, so.
it's good stuff. It's a whole world of stuff I never knew existed.
We'd rather be stressed out than flaky.
All I want to say is I'm the one that was at Miniature Market and pointed at Forbidden Lands and say
you actually are
really nice,
and now we're coming full circle, and it's on the horizon. Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna play a trash eating druid.
Very nice. I like it.
To reinforce Matt's point and step on his time, to even go further, like, my local board game group, like, I board game with pre-COVID with these guys twice a month, mm-hmm. And, you know, play Gloomhaven, this, that, and the other. I love those boys, but I've given up on role-playing with them because they are just all over the place in, like, what they want and what they think role-playing is and how they approach it and what they think. I've quit. I just, mm-hmm. like, no. So I'm right there with you, Matt. The guild is an amazing filter for finding people, good people to role play with.
Absolutely.
Who would have thunk it? it's kind of a weird thing, you know. Gaming podcasts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jason, when he came up with this whole secret plan.
Yes. Perhaps. I wouldn't put it past him. All right, Backdoor. Your time is unstepped on. Please pray continue.
So I'm still running Alien. I'm really excited where I'm taking that because it's going to be a story in three parts. And so once this part's done, I'll open it up to the players. If whoever wants to stay can stay, and then I'll open it up. But I've got some good ideas there. That's a lot of fun, I think. OBX has started, which is running Bubblegum Shoe. And that's a teen boys up to no good treasure hunt scenario set in Outer Banks. Mm-hmm. But we're only one episode into that. We'll be back at that tomorrow night. Witchburner is still going with Jeff and Rich. Nice. We had a last minute cancellation.
Wait, let me guess.
I wonder who that was.
But I just doodled that today to make sure we get back in September. That's such a cool source book. So I don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. We wrapped up Lost Mine of Phandelver last Friday.
On Twitch.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Wrapping up was a big step.
Another, they got in the boss room and just smoked him. I don't even remember, but I was pretty fucking drunk. Carl ended up with a scroll of fireball and fireballed the whole room and just like smoked four spiders. You're right, exactly. You would have been so proud. So that's done. As far as what I'm playing, you got Hollywood's Curse of Strahd is coming back up in September. Ties One Ring, which that's an awesome system. I really like that. Voyages with Jason, Wraith with Mark. The few things we mentioned kind of spinning back up. And then I've got a few things. So Carl is running Keep on the Borderlands, and then I'm going to take that when he's done and turn it into kind of a salt marsh.
Have you read what Carl posted though? He's running B1.
That's right. Sorry. So
He's running Into the Borderlands.
Right. He's running. I keep mixing those up.
Which is it's very interesting. I'm excited to see where this goes. I wonder if he's going to go into B2 or what he's thinking. But yeah, we haven't run yet. Okay. We're just planning.
I think
the producer in me is saying content people. Come on.
Coming. It'll be coming. That one's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, that's gonna
be. Are you gonna play in Carl's thing, or are you just
gonna? No, because I figured if I played, that's just too much for. Not that Carl couldn't do it, but it's his first game, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, but another GM, like, yeah. I mean, you could almost run an NPC for him or something, like play, but like assistant GM if you wanted. But
so what we're doing is probably annoying Lawrence during our Axis Empire games, talking about it. And then we have a call tomorrow night to just kind of go through things.
I'm all for annoying that fucker. I'm tired of losing 18xx to him. So
I know when he's to. I was like, come on, give us a break.
The other thing I want to talk about is, so I've been reading and geeking out about this Voodoo Hoodoo Blues book. Which is so fucking cool, and I want to run it, but that sent me down this Call of Cthulhu Louisiana voodoo horror setting, so I bought just about everything there was that's been put out for like New Orleans.
I can approve that.
I bought this great book called The Great Old Ones that everyone talks about and has some really great settings in, and my goal, if the lake weekend happens next summer, which as far as I'm concerned, it is. I mean, I'm going to move to the lake next summer. I want to do a Call of Cthulhu setting. So I've been like researching Call of Cthulhu cocktails, and I want to go like fucking hard in the paint on it. So we'll see if that actually happens. So that's it.
Nice.
Nice.
Very nice. All right. And last, but definitely least, is C'est Moi. So Jason mentioned Oddity High. I'm GMing. Well, I'll do what I'm GMing. So I'm running Oddity High. I'd actually gone back and we had run a bunch before the con, and then I failed to schedule sessions after the con, and it kind of sat there for a while. And then I went back and listened to the last session. I'm like, this is horrible. Cause I mean, it was just so much fun. And all I have to do, it is like, so I've got Jason and Jesse and Matt Allen and Gersh in that. And it is the easiest thing to GM. And I want to think about it, right? Because I'm like, I want to think about all these characters. But all I do is go in the GM session and I put them in a bottle and I kind of tap the glass a little and then, and like, you know, like, and Jesse's character is flirting with Matt's character, but we're not sure if Jesse's a boy or a girl. And Gersh is a cat who's like in the dumpster and going after a fish, and then like some other fish happens and he's like comic relief. He's like playing that role and not asking for anything else. And then Jason's just this fucking psycho, incredibly hot girl. Like, I mean, oh, it's just great.
You could have just stopped at incredibly hot. I mean, yeah, psycho, yeah. Incredibly hot. That's really what I'm shooting.
Yeah, kind of go hand in hand. But it's like own personal anime is what it is. Like, you just sit there and like, well, what's going to happen this week? I don't know. I'm going to tune in and find out. So that's good. I have Legacy, the Generation Ship one. That has Gersh, Kyle, Matt Allen, Walker. Although Walker is a little sketchy. Pete and Mark. That's still going. That's still going well. That system. And Mark was raving about that system. So Leroy was thinking he might want to run that one. So I thought that he also was talking about. A couple of them were talking about Call of Cthulhu yesterday. So that's interesting. I have White Rock, and it actually may be possible as we approach session 14 of White Rock that we actually go into Castle White Rock. I don't know. I don't want to jinx it. But
I have to drop, by the way.
Yeah. Of course you do. Well, I mean, that's your own fault. But it's great. I mean, I've been using White Rock comes with a city, and, you know, they have all the city. And, you know, we've been just kind of fucking around. And it's been, I mean, we did a little hex crawl on the way over, and it's been a lot of fun. Deus Vault with Art, the Alien with Backdoor, Into the Borderlands, Curse of Strahd, people have talked about, Soulsong Quixote with Jason, Cyberpunk Red with Jason, Brindlewood Bay with Jason, Comrades with Mark, Greyhawk with Pete, Vihander with Rex, Simbarum Wrapped with Anthony. I'll probably keep playing. I did want to follow up. I didn't want to interrupt Rex, believe it or not. I thought Anthony did a really great job with what was a scripted module. I didn't feel like we were railroaded too much. I mean, we were railroaded to the extent that, like, you have to railroad in one of those modules. So, you know, and but that was his goal. I mean, he did kind of say that up front, you know, we're just going to check out the systems. We're going to, you know, you're kind of on this track through on this caravan. So, you know, I didn't feel like, I didn't really want to brad him up there. So I thought he did a good job.
I hope we knew what he did. It didn't come across as anything about Anthony. It's very much about how much I want to engage with that system, because it's just different enough, and there's definitely enough stuff there that if you're not thinking about like how you can optimize your situation or how you can use your talent to, you know, get, you know, better die resolutions.
Yeah, it's crunchy. I wonder if I have the brain space also. Yeah, I have the same thought. I just want to go on the record as saying I think Anthony did a great job while Rex thinks he did a bad job.
You heard it here first, folks.
Although, and, you know, honestly, it doesn't matter other than, I don't mind pissing Anthony off. I just felt like going on the record. But, yeah, so it's funny, but I do, like, yeah, that system just doesn't, you know, well, it's Free League, right? But I think they got the system from someone else.
I wouldn't call it a Free League product. They very much took it as an existing thing, right, and they sell it now.
Yeah, it's not their main mechanic. Because they're like Alien, Forbidden Lands, mm-hmm. and all those have the dice pool. And
Tales Year from Zero.
Year Zero engine. Yeah, Mutant Year Zero. which is a system I'm really starting to love. Because I like the push it mechanics and the kind of the push and pull between stuff. Simbarum, art's great, settings great, system, it's okay. Yeah, it's probably great if you dove into it and got all the bells and whistles and really understood it. But yeah, do I want to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. Is that a licensed product, or is that just straight up an RPG thing? Like, are there novels and a?
I think it's RPG.
It's just an RPG thing, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I'll step on your time real quick, Doug, just to chime in on this. I have put in time, and I think parts of it are worth it, but I think parts of it aren't. Like, if that makes... Yeah. I don't like the stat-based, like, you comparing your stat against an enemy's stat modifier. I think they just tried to come up with something unique to be unique, and I don't think it works, but I think there's value in The magic system is really cool. This whole deal about like how tainted you are and like how it reflects your shadows. So like, I think there is value there, and it may be, and I'm not trying to push you guys to do it, whatever, just play devil's advocate. I think there's something to be gained from that system. Yeah. I think there's enough there to take up that brain space.
Yeah. And so now I'll step on Duck as well. I'm reaching the point where I have so many great RPG opportunities that I now feel like I almost have to get picky and say, good may not be good enough now.
Your language, you got to filter it even more.
It's becoming an opportunity cost for me. If I'm playing that game and spending some time wrestling with that rule book and that system, what am I not doing? Like, for example, if it was put in terms of, well, you can do Forbidden Lands or you can do some Barum. I'm just going to say right now, I'm going to pick Forbidden Lands because I want to go explore that. Now, maybe after we play Forbidden Lands for a while, I might be like,
who knows? Okay, we're going to play it, find out.
You know, that's the point I find myself out. It's an embarrassment of riches right now for... Right.
But you never know until you try, right? Simbaroom might have been the greatest system ever, but, you know, we tried it. It's good, but yeah, so far it hasn't really grabbed me yet. I'm not saying, there may be people who absolutely love it, just hasn't done that for me yet. Anyway, Twilight 2000 with C-Rac. And then I ran a one-shot that's still open that if we need another one-shot, I can keep running because it was a shit ton of fun, which was the MCC Mall with All Good in Hollywood. It was a blast. I like MCC. I mean, it has issues, but it's just stupid fun. I'm prepping Forbidden Lands. I'm sitting here in my new game room. It's the closest RPG book to me. I've read through the whole player's guide, and I've been reading the GM's guide, which you don't really have to read cover to cover. I've read all the history stuff, and then it's, you know, they have like, here's the encounter, you know, it's like the campaigns in the GM's guide book. I have GEV Red Dawn, which Jason, Pete, and I did a world building session on, which was a lot of fun, where it morphed from GEV Ogre into GEV Red Dawn, which I really liked. It got me excited. And then Ty and Gersh both expressed interest. So I always plan to make that one very mission-based, where your GEV jockeys on the edge of the apocalypse. North America's been invaded by the Nihon Empire, possibly with K-pop on the radio or J-pop, or the 2100 version of J-pop. This will be my, we were ready to go for session one, kind of exploratory thing, and then I had to cancel, and then I have to redoodle, and that kills my momentum for some reason.
I understand. Yeah. That was my fault.
No, it wasn't you. It was Pete.
Well, if Pete did cancel, I was going to cancel. Which I think I said. I could
breathe. Well, that makes it easier. That makes it easier. Yeah. I'll blame Pete a little less, but it's still, I don't blame Pete. It's just. I understand. You have a reason that I cannot argue with. Stars Without Number is still floating out there in the ether. We almost got one going. God knows where Sweet is, but
he's in Sweden.
Hopefully, you never know. I hope he's all right.
Yeah, sometimes he's in Turkey, I guess.
Yeah. I've always had this idea. I was going to run two GURPS Traveler campaigns, one for the Easties, one for the Westies. And so the Eastie group there's rumblings. I don't know, maybe. And then stuff that's kind of out there. So once Dave gets settled, I guess we'll do Middle Earth again, Dungeon Fantasy, Numenera, I'm shedding a tear. Scup, I'm shedding a tear.
Well, hold on. Because I forgot to mention, Sammer is teasing that come September he'll be ready to revisit Numenera.
So, nice. All right.
But I can't do Numenera and Fall of Delta Green if Fall of Delta Green is going to be every other week.
Well, Fall of Delta Green probably won't. It won't be until November. So
there you go.
So we may have a window. So we have
2 months.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get a couple sessions in. Then well, yeah, play by ear.
Finish a train run. So
yeah. There you go. That's right. Yeah.
I know exactly where we are in that game.
I do too. I have a screenshot, like in my mind. We're platforming in that stupid train.
Yep. Yeah, I remember. And then Fall of Delta Green 62, also without a Swede, that one's probably not going to go. Did the Alien cinematic with Hollywood? That's highly recommended. I know a couple. I know Jason, you're thinking about it.
Yep.
A lot of fun. And a couple of things wrapped up, but that's me. I've got a lot. I'm in a lot of shit. I'm not GMing quite as much, so I'm feeling okay on that standpoint. I just got to decide. Like Oddity High, Legacy, and White Rock are my main ones, and so I think I can handle four pretty easily. So probably Forbidden Lands will be the or GEV combo. Mm-hmm. I've done five before. It's fine.
Forbidden Lands.
Yeah.
So pitch me on Forbidden Lands.
Forbidden Lands is it's a free league product. Art is great. It's a dice pool mechanic. It's a hex crawl. It's intrinsically a hex crawl. It's resource management where like characters have skills for crafting things. Like if you want, you can make your own arrows rather than buying them, right? You can create a character who's able to make arrows and like fix arrows. So there's all this kind of push and pull between like resources and collecting time and you know, there's mechanics for like everything's kind of interactive, but they're not complex mechanics. It's all dice pool shit where like, you know, you roll a dice pool and if you get some successes, you lose, you know, in Alien when you're checking for error, right? You roll if you have four error, you roll four dice. And if you get any hits, then you lose one of your errors. And then next time you're only going to have three dice. And when you get down to zero, you're out of error. So similar type mechanics, very simple, but really you're tracking resources. You can build strongholds, which let you like, you know, it's all kind of like when I read the rules, I'm like, wow, this all makes sense. And we're probably going to get touched on this in the round table, but.
We were at the round table. That was my segue. We are.
Yeah, the gears all kind of in when I read the rule. Now I have to see it play, but when I read the rules, they all seem to click together. The magic system seems very simple, yet like it's got a nice little crunch to it. There's, you know, the dice pool push your luck mechanic. You have to build up, like you take failures from one thing and they become things you can spend on other things. So there's a lot of push and pull. So I can tell Rex wants to add on to my selling point. So go ahead, Rex.
Well, actually, so Jason and I had a conversation on Rocket about OSR stuff. And we actually, during the course of the discussion, I talked about the fact that one of my other back burner projects is using the Cypher system to run OSR stuff. Mm-hmm. Cypher system is the generic version of Numenera. My only hesitation on that is there's a lot of front end work. It's sort of like a GURPS game where as the GM, you got to basically say, here's the subset of what's allowed to fit the game. So there's that work on the front end to define what is going to exist in the world. But I meant to send it to you. I actually sent it to a different channel, Jason. I'm curious whether Forbidden Lands could be another system to run OSR stuff. I'm not saying it's an OSR game.
Sure.
Because it's a dice pool. It's got nothing to do with BX. But I'm cautiously optimistic that it will let you do the same kind of OSR stuff where you know, you can fight, but you know what? It might not be a good idea. Maybe you should not fight. Maybe you should figure a way around this to solve this problem.
So that ties into, so that's why I asked the question, because I am on, I just bought Old School Essentials. It showed up yesterday or two days ago. Let's say Tuesday. It showed up yesterday.
Where'd you get it from?
Exalted Funeral.
Fuckers. I pre-ordered that and I don't have it yet. God damn it.
Oh, that's weird. Anyway, so Michael Gower and I have been chatting for about a month because he talked about he wanted to run Swords and Wizardry, and so I kind of fell down just a deep rabbit hole of what's the system I want to get. Like, you know, do I want one of the newer games, or do I want, you know, kind of pure? And kind of kicked around some things, and so I'm reading Old School Essentials. And I think it's the game I wanted it to be, but I don't know that it's the game I want to run. And so, you know, and even while I was buying it, I was like, why do I need to buy this instead of just like, can I do it in DCC? Cause I like DCC. I know it fairly well, but I never, and like, we have a whole shared world that I really liked. And maybe if I was more active in it, I would be more jazzed, but there was something like, I don't know. I just always want something different, right? And I don't know why. And so reading Old School Essential, it's cool, and I think it's actually probably what I was looking for, rather than doing something like Morkborg or Troika, which are these quote unquote OSR games. But and every time I see, you know, Troika gets a lot of love in the people I follow, and then I read the rules, and every time I'm like, yeah, this is. I would hate to play this game. It's so fiddly. The initiative doesn't make any fucking sense. Mm-hmm. And, but then, you know, 3 days later, someone's, oh, here's my Troika pamphlet. I'm like, oh, I need to go buy Troika. And then because I have the PDF, like, you know, from six different bundles. And then I read it again. I'm like, yeah, this, I want nothing to do with this game. So I think Old School Essentials is bland enough to kind of get around that. But it's meant to play in that kind of campaign style, right? Like, I mostly run one-shots. So do I really want an OSR game where you're supposed to be tracking lantern fuel and torches? Because that adds to the game. And my gut says yes. So my gut then says, okay, maybe you should actually try to run like a mega dungeon, right? Figure out a premise to run a mega dungeon. And even if it's open table and, okay, we have, you know, X number of people in this party and people can show up and play or not or whatever, but be able to really do that resource management. And so Forbidden Lands sounds similar to what I would be into. Even if I don't run that, just kind of reading it would be good.
It sounds like it'd be up your alley. There's a spot if you want it.
Is this a good time to tell you that Advanced Fantasy hits Kickstarter tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Signature. Yeah.
So I only bought the rules tome when I bought the GM screen, and then as soon as I got it, I was like, why didn't I get, you know, the advanced? Because they have like more classes. Genre rule one.
And the Druid and Illusionist. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm back in the
market. I'm probably going to get the. Because one of the games that they actually put out, or one of the modules or whatever, is Hole in the Oak, which is a super cool dungeon. So I might buy that. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Then maybe I don't need Forbidden Lands, because if I'm going to go all in on OSE.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd play OSE too, because I mean it's BX essentially, right? Supposedly. Exactly. So.
Yeah.
And that. Yeah, I love BX just because that was my first one. So.
Yeah, you know, speaking of OSR mega dungeons, Gradient Descent's got to be getting close, which is
Was the one that was in
Mother. That's Mothership, right? Which that's all OSR too, right?
Ish. It's ish.
I just got something Mothership that looks fucking fantastic. It's too far for me to reach on this court, but I forget what it was. But I was like paging
Primeval.
Yeah, Primeval.
Yeah, I didn't get like, the physical copy of that.
Oh, it's so good.
So that's also on my list of, like,
You already used some of the Mothership stuff in some of your one-shots, right?
Yeah.
I've been buying that stuff and just buying.
Me too.
I see there's interest for it.
There's like, maybe that's a problem somehow. I don't understand.
Probably run that maybe 2021
because when you know when you want it, it's there. I'm looking at Black Void. I mean, I might want to run that one day. I'm looking at you, Coriolis, which I bought from Art. I'm looking at you, SBI Universe, which was designed by John Butterfield, believe it or not.
Yeah. I think Mothership's one I could run. Long,
yeah, Mothership would be good.
If you don't run Mothership, I what's the pink one that I just brought up?
The space station. Yeah. Pound of flesh.
Pound of flesh. Yeah. Mothership is I would run.
I mean, I buy a lot of stuff just for material. Like I like to read the rules just to see the rules, but like I love running Space Campaign, so I will buy unless I think somebody's going to run it, and I'll just read through it. Like, oh, I can throw this in my Stars Without Number campaign. Oh, I can throw this in this other space thing. So, yeah, we need more space stuff. I mean, Alien's been good. I like Alien, but
Wandering Stars has been good. It's
pretty good. And Wandering Stars has been.
I love running that so much. It's so silly.
I kind of want to run either Uncharted Worlds, which is PBTA, or I'm looking at Diaspora, which is fate-based traveler. Yeah. And that's always been one like, oh wow, that could be really good with this group because it's all, you know. Like I wouldn't get hung up on the aspects and stuff, but just like the simple way that it deals with star maps and stuff is very interesting to me. I love the space stuff.
Space is good.
Yeah.
So RPGs are good.
Ty has not said anything for a long time.
I know.
I'm curious what his reaction to all this is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, to each their own. I've gone on a selling spree over the last maybe 5 years and not just RPGs but also war games, and so I guess it depends on what you're getting and why you're getting it. Like, you know, some people like to read the stuff and I like to flip through it, and you know, it'd be interesting to see what percentage of stuff gets played, but I think, you know, we're guys with middle-aged guys with disposable income, and you know, what are you gonna do with all this money? I guess
that's right. I'm supporting the fucking economy, bitch. Back off.
I use most of the stuff I buy.
Yeah. I think there is a kind of a practical side about what, you know, what my, not an objection, but like part of it is really about, especially when the cobble was kind of coming together. I said, oh, this is great. And maybe I even said this to somebody. It's like, I want to kill a dragon. Like that's my goal in RPG. Like I thought back to when I was young. And so there's this thing about character progression, where if it's one-offs or it's stuff that's bought and not played, or if it's, you know, five sessions of this thing and it doesn't come together, you know, I'm just like, well, I can't get too excited about that. Cause I know that I'm not going to have that level of character, because I want it to be legit too, right? Like I can make a 10th level warrior in DCC. I mean, there's nothing to keep me from doing that, but like to get there.
There may or may not be a dragon in Windrock.
Well, and so with that, like that's the right path. It's also, you know, we're playing, you know, once every month and a half or 2 months.
Yeah, you're gonna be 84 by the time we get to the dragon.
Yeah, and you know, and then I think I said this when we were wrapping up World War Cthulhu. It's like, you know, that was, you know, 60 some sessions over 3.5 years of, and that was basically one scenario book plus a couple of other scenarios, right? Like, so it's like when I hear it, I go, well, I know that much of this isn't going to get played. and it's just whether that, if you're fine with that or not, like I've stopped keeping books on my shelves and not just role playing games. So it's like, okay. Now
I think that's, yeah, it's a totally a personal choice. I've long ago come to the realization that I like to collect things. I also like to play them, and I play a lot of them, but I enjoy the idea that I have it as well, right?
So that's like, because, you know, we are dragons.
Yes, like, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at, you know, Vassen, whatever the Free League one is, and I'm like, will I ever play it? But when I got that book and I paged through it and it's Free League, I'm like, well, this was worth it because I love this.
Fucking nice. There's good stuff in there.
Yeah. And so, you know, I totally see your point, and I, you know, it's just like, you know, I'm live and let live. If people, if you want, if you're like, my wife is kind of this way. Like, she was going fucking nuts because I have stuff piled everywhere. This is why we got a storage unit. And it, you know, and she says it's affecting my sanity. I'm like, well, don't let it affect your sanity. I mean, it's
right,
duh,
right.
But
right.
She's like,
it, just turn it off, woman.
Yeah,
yeah. Like my sanity right now is trying to figure out what to do with what I do have.
Yeah.
And I have my moments of regrets, you know, when Backdoor was like, hey, James Bond, Victory Games, like, oh shit, I sold that. That's awesome. That's a great system.
It's not too hard to get again. You could get that.
Yeah. But then you can, if I want it, I can find it. It's not
right.
super rare. And,
I mean, it's not like you got rid of something really valuable or something, which you probably did, but.
I think there's something to be said, Ty, about the campaign and realizing that. You know, I talked about only doing this for a year. Like, when I sign up to do Saltmarsh, I need to internalize, like, that's a commitment, because I see Saltmarsh, like, Saltmarsh, you could run 1 to 20, right? Or it may be 6 to 20 or something. I don't
know. Yeah, it's essentially a mega dungeon. I mean, it's not a dungeon, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you can... Like, that's a long-term commitment. So at the same time, when I'm talking about running, like, Yellow King or these two other, like, Wild Mountain, Icewind Dale are, like, on my potential someday, too, as well. Well, gosh, if I was to do Saltmarsh, Wild Mountain, Icewind Dale, and really milk those things, that's, like, 12 years of role-playing. And, like, I'm sorry, but most of you guys are going to be dead in 12 years anyway. So then what am I going to do? No one else is playing with me. So there's something to be said about
we're
that.
We're bringing
that
new people in. And
actually, in 12 years, I'll be retired. I'll have more time.
I don't know. There's something that I should start internalizing. Even, that's why this list helps, because it's like, and we kind of talked about this, is this was a slow week. So in my mind, it's like, oh, shit, let's go sign up for Hollywood Alien, but which is something I told him I would do. I really want to do, but I'm just looking at this, and like, in a month, I know we're already planning September stuff. September's basically off the books for me. And then talking Simbarum, just with personal events, October's basically filled. So it's like, well,
I'm starting to think I might not be able to do Simbarum either. I feel bad for Anthony, but I may have to.
And maybe he just pushes it.
Yeah.
Just starts later.
I mean, we've got the Saturday night group. If we can get Swede back in the group, then we can kind of rotate through a bunch of stuff. And yeah, it's almost about just the fact that we're spending time with a bunch of people we enjoy week after week. And, you know, I'm saturated with good stuff. And these are all good problems to have. Like, oh, my God, am I going to run this? Are we going to run that? I don't know. But we're going to have fun either way.
And it's something I talked about with and I know he doesn't like to be called Gower, but with Gower.
I'm glad it's not just me.
When we were talking about it, he was like, because we like got on the phone, right? We were kind of hashing through stuff. It was fun. And he said, what do you want to do with it? And I was like, I don't know. You know, like, don't ask me
real questions. Stop asking me.
I want to read it in bed and then put it on my shelf. Right. But I think I do want to get out of that one-shot mentality, because even so, and went into Cyberpunk Red thinking, okay, we're going to play this introductory thing, and then I'll be done with it. And then when the book comes out, we'll play it again, and then I'll move to the next thing after, you know, three or four sessions.
You are kind of a one-shot guy.
I am. I like to play like 3 to 4 sessions. Nice. And I don't know why that is, but like with Cyberpunk Red, I want to kind of dig in, and I like those characters, and the system's kind of getting out of the way. With Curse of Strahd, I was like, okay, we'll play this, you know, 5 or 6 times. Hyla goes, yeah, this is like a 2-year commitment once if we play once a month. Like, what the like, I didn't know I was signing up for that. And I know that I could plow if, you know, if I needed to. But that, to me, that's mind-blowing. Like, just, I didn't know I was signing up for that. Is that really what I want out of it? And I think it would be fun. 5e's obviously not, I'd rail against 5e. It's not my favorite system. Mm-hmm. But it's a good group of guys, and obviously we'll have a lot of fun. But I think I just need to change my mentality a little bit, kind of like backdoor what you were saying, and actually kind of dig in and play. Okay, let's play 12 sessions of this, or you know, 24 sessions of this over the course of however long. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what I use Old School Essentials for, and just really kind of, you know, get something like Barrow Maze, or get something like mm-hmm. you know, one of those mega dungeons, and really just kind of go through it.
I love the mega dungeons. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I imagined Witchburner as this summer project, right? Like, all right, let's.
Yeah, I thought it was like going to be 2 or 3 sessions.
We are. So each day is 4 segments long. Now, every couple days, they're going to have to sleep, right? So, okay, let's say that there's really 75 segments, right? And they've done 8. It's like, holy fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Forbidden Lands is going to be a short one either. Like, I mean, we're you're going day by day, and you know, God knows how many fucking hexes there are to explore if you want to explore them all. Like that world, that's too completely open-ended unless I kill them.
Point
and that's okay though, but going
I think it's great. Point, I like open-ended shit.
Let's just realize that and the us there is me in terms obviously Ty's realize that, right? Like that's a big commitment. To sign up for a lot of that stuff. And now I'm learning. I mean, fuck, Lost Mind of Phandelver took a year. And yes. That's like the starter D&D stuff.
Yeah.
Now, but I had a kid there and I paused for 3 months.
I did that in 4 sessions with 12-year-olds. Well, I guess we're more rowdy than 12-year-olds.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the question that I have for you, Backdoor, was every session of Landwehr fun?
And yeah, I have some regrets with it. I completely enjoyed it. I was just kind of echoing Ty, where Ty's at the point where he's realized it, and he's more, he's wiser in his old age than I am in my young wild buck age. But
your relative youth,
yeah, right. And I'm just saying it's something that. You know, we make these sheets to organize things, and that actually helps me prevent from because like June was fucking nuts, and I had to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're gonna turn into a COVID zombie, so I don't know what you think you got going on. So.
Yeah. Right. but Lost Mine was fun. I had regrets of running it as it was very straight out of the book, and they played very cookie cutter characters, and I didn't give them any chance to develop. Characters.
Okay.
I mean, but that was all first
yeah,
time.
But yeah. I mean, that's how you learn.
That's kind
of. I thought it was fun. Everyone, we had a mini 10-minute wrap at the end of it, and I think everyone had a good time.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, that's the key thing. And I love how this roundtable topic is completely organic. Where we're really kind of doing Ty's topic, I think, because you know we did the what are we playing and prepping, and we got sidetracked with all the systems, and then we talked about why do we have so many systems. So, I love this shit
because
system matters.
Matters.
let me go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just so with that. So, Ty, you said you want to kill a dragon. Would you? So, if I were to do like a And I wouldn't even want to tie players to it. Like, say you have to show up, but do, okay, every first Friday, I'm running Old School Essentials Mega Dungeon. Is that something that sounds enticing? Is it Old School Essentials? Is it DCC? Is it Forbidden Lands? Are you kind of on the DCC side? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have. I'm
not going to hold you to this.
Like, I mean, I definitely have an aversion to learning new systems. And I don't know if I'm stubborn or I do get turned off when I'm in a game and I don't know the system well enough. It's like when I play a war game, right? Mm-hmm. If I don't know the rules well enough, even if I lose, I want to know how to play. And so, you know, I'm excited about space games too, but is it going to be Traveler? Is it going to be Stars Without Numbers? Is it going to be GURPS?
Wandering
is
Stars is the one for you.
Like the four, yeah, the four yeah, different.
Wandering, you know, Stars is not a hard system to understand.
There could be one of them. I just don't want to end up doing five of them, mm-hmm. right? And that, so fantasy is the same way. I was flipping through Forbidden Lands because I was getting kind of excited about the Hexcrawl stuff because I was looking at both that and Mutant Year Zero. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But you know that's you know I haven't played it and I'm not into it and I've got DCC and I'd probably be more interested in some version of, you know, old school essentials / BX first edition, whatever. You know, that's so it's kind of like, so my question maybe back to somebody like Duck or Rex would be, well, you know, if system matters, great, but then are we playing different systems of the same genre because the systems provide something that you're not getting? Or like, why does it need to be DCC and 5e and, you know, the four other fantasy systems that are floating around?
I think that's a great question. And
thank you.
So I think the challenge is typically when you get a role-playing game, oftentimes you're getting two things. You're getting a setting and you're getting a rule system to tell stories in that setting. Mm-hmm. So we're playing the One Ring. And so there's a system there to resolve fantasy adventuring and combat, but it's a system that's very much designed to mimic the types of stories told by Tolkien. So the whole shadow thing and what the skills are and how they work and the you know, trait system and how it works, you know, that's very, very different from 5e. You could run Lost Mines using the One Ring system, but how much of the One Ring system would be wasted running, you know, the Lost Mines or Salt Marsh or whatever? And you could use DCC to adventure in Middle Earth, but if you did, how much of the spell stuff would you have to just throw out because that's not how magic was really used in Middle Earth? So I you know, as great as GURPS is, I think there's some practical limitations. If you've got a group that want to tell very specific stories with a very specific aspect of a genre, then I think a game that specifically favors or has systems put in place to help you do that is going to give you a better experience than just, well, you know, we'll take this and we'll use half of it and we'll throw half of it out and it doesn't matter because we'll just all tell the story we want to tell. Well, then we don't need any system at that point in time. Mm-hmm. We'll just sit around and talk for 3 hours.
I want to do my obligatory segment of the show where I summon Dave. Dave has a really good comment about GURPS. And, you know, Dave likes GURPS, but GURPS is the best system for any setting until someone writes a specific rule book to deal with it.
I'm totally on board with that.
GURPS is still going to be better for Hellboy than 5e is going to be.
Yeah. I mean,
But generally,
if someone does a good job, like the One Ring, although I don't like the One Ring, but, you know, if someone takes the time to really understand how to get the mechanics to work with a specific setting, like get the magic right and all that, then generally it's going to do a better job than GURPS.
But I'm waiting you guys to answer me why I felt like I love DCC, but why I was like, I don't want to play DCC. I want to play old school rules, and I can't figure.
I don't understand. Let's figure that. Why is that?
Because DCC is not OSR.
It really isn't.
It's not.
It's OSR adjacent, but yeah, right. DCC but is 3.5
right.
in a kind of simplified format. So
right. Right. With its own Gonzo tables. Yeah.
Which I like about it. Yeah. And so I'm struggling with that. So that's my I need to go off in the dirt and take mushrooms.
Right.
And figure that out.
Yeah, I want to. And so yeah, not to, so have we? But we got to answer all these questions. So why Jason doesn't like DCC?
I don't know why it's not what I want.
Why it's not what you want? Well, I mean, for me personally, like I love DCC for certain things, but like I wouldn't try and. Well, I might actually. Don't distract me. But there are things that like trying to run MCC actually kind of frustrating. Like the thing that like I love the randomness of the spells, but sometimes like that makes it really hard. Like we had MCC and Allgood and Hollywood did not use any of their powers because like, well, I've got a 50% chance of failing and then I can't use it anymore. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things.
The table is really.
Yeah. I mean, no system is perfect.
But see, and that's kind of the thing that, I mean, you need to kind of push that so that you get the characters moving, so you get the experience points, so you advance right. in levels, and so that 50% becomes 5%.
Right, first level spells yeah. with, you know, that's, yeah, like a fifth level wizard is going to be able to cast first level spells all the time without losing them over yeah. and over. And then yeah. when he wants to cast a third level spell, it's going to be much more difficult, but... Yeah. Which is a great mechanic, and we're, you know, we're moving that way in White Rock, and I love DCC for what we're doing with White Rock. But you know, I want to like, I don't mind not like I want to know the rules for all the systems I'm GMing, of course, and I try and put the work in. But like, I don't have the same feeling you do, Ty, about like I especially like to play games with Ralph where I don't know the rules at all because like I'll just look at him and it's even better face to face, and I'll put a little innocent look on my face. It's like, what do I do now, Ralph? And he gets so angry, and then he knows I'm trying to get him angry, and then he. Sublimates it, and it's just so much fun. Mm-hmm. But and I actually think one of the things I've always liked about war games and RPGs is I like to see the model, right? Yeah. I want to like, oh, yeah. Hey, how did this person, you know, a system, an RPG system is a model for the world, right? It's like this interacts with this, and don't let me forget, I want to give Art's insightful comment about system matters, but maybe you guys won't think it's that insightful, but I did.
But well, do it soon before yeah, you forget.
I know. So it's this model, and I really like that part. I think that's the reason one of the reasons I buy so many systems. But I'm actually running a bunch of them. But then, like, I'm reading them, and I'm seeing this model. Well, like, okay, well, how well does this work? So I want to try it out. I want to try Forbidden Lands because this is a really right. exciting. Yeah, I see these gears, and I see, you know, it's like getting a schematic, and like, oh, I want to build that because it looks mm-hmm. like it's just going to click into place, and you know, that's why I do it.
Where the system matter, then what I'm hearing though, I mean, let me pose this: mm-hmm. system matters a lot less when either the lore or the world setting isn't as well established. Right. So between perhaps mm-hmm. old school essentials and 5e and DCC, and I guess I don't really know 5e. Let's say first edition,
yeah,
AD&D, you know, before Greyhawk, or even with Greyhawk.
After Greyhawk.
It's generic. They're all generic enough.
Let me pick one.
You could probably swap them out with not the same impact of trying to put 5e on put 5e on the One Ring, and that's a different story.
But I think you could tell similar stories, but I think the play experience quite a bit.
Yes,
different.
You would have to force it into similar stories. And here's one, you know, I agree with Rex on probably more things than I really like to.
Ooh,
but,
careful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Actually, Rex and I agree on a lot of things, but and maybe he'll probably quibble with this, but nonetheless, like you're going to get a different experience with each, even with the same setting, and you take those things, it's going to be a slightly different experience because the system is going to define. Mm-hmm. The ways that the it defines the interaction between the world, the players, and the GM, right? And Art's comment, which I really liked, and Rex may have already made this comment, and maybe I wasn't listening, but it's really, the system matters is much more about the GM's rules for interacting with the world and the player. So it's really on the side, like as a player, if you're not one of the ones that has to really like grok the system to play it, like I'll go in, you know, in Call of Cthulhu, like I didn't read any Call of Cthulhu before we started playing. I had you teach me. So it's really, the system matters is really like, it's a GM decision and the players feel it, but it's I feel like I'm missing something of Art's comment. I'll have to go back and listen, but it really was on the, like, it's what the GM puts, you know, the structure that the GM decides and how that, how he's going to, you know, turn the gears, pull the levers, and then the players are going to feel that. And as the players learn the rules, they'll get it, but it's really kind of system matters is much more on the GM side. And I just thought that was a really interesting way to look at it. And it is, it does matter. Like if I wanted to, if like I'm running White Rock with DCC because I wanted a little gonzo, right? If I wanted to run White Rock more vanilla, like we're being serious, I probably would not have used DCC, right? I would have used 3.5.
It was written for AD&D, right?
It was written for 3.5, I think. Yeah. Yep. So, and you know, so all the monsters are statted for, so which makes it easy to convert to DCC, but, or I'd use 5e or something, right? Something, and that would, see, that would change the tone. It might be slight. It would change the tone. It would change how we interact with things. Not very much, but like we wouldn't have the whole fucking story of Dr. Hansy and his, like how many times has he gotten out his toothbrush and scrubbed the grout between the dungeon tile floors because, you know, he's offended Shul. So, you know, that's the story you get with DCC. And it, I think that's why I think
that answers my questions. I think that's why I didn't want DCC for whatever I do next. Because I do like running those kind of gonzo high magic games. But I want to go into it knowing it's going to be that. And it does kind of, you know, we get with Carl and we get All Good coming in with their, you know, crazy ass characters, which is great. And I love that.
So many sacks.
But then thinking about doing like a, you guys are down in the muck, you know, six players really at, you know, at times crawling through this dungeon, you have your 10-foot pullout. I think I do want a different system for that. And I think that answers it. I think that's,
I meant to answer your question. That's totally what I meant to
Thank
do.
You. Yeah. I can go now. I'm here for me.
All right.
You meant my
number five. Number five here. Who has
bringing it full circle, Jason? I would play a gritty old school fantasy setting.
Yeah, BX.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my hopes are like, oh my gosh, Carl's running B2. Oh, it's 5e.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I just don't want to go to, and 5e is probably great. It's just, I don't want to get sucked into that, you know, or someone's running.
It's great. It's fine.
Okay. Like all the books and all the colors.
I love shitting on 5e.
It's intrinsic to the hipster in you.
It is my hipster. Yeah.
I don't mind 5e. And you can do 5e ridiculous, kind of like our Greyhawk setting, right? I mean, all you have to do is put Dave in a fucking setting and it will become ridiculous. It's like, I want to be a talking half-plant tomato.
What Ty is saying
plant.
Is it's different, yeah. right? Like,
it is, still is different. It is, because like if we were playing that in DCC, I think it would be a lot easier for him to be even more ridiculous. Like, or when we played Gamma World First Edition.
That was so gonzo,
right? I mean, I think he may have literally rolled that character up on the tables for Gamma World. Like, I'm a walking tomato plant, and then he threw in all the stuff like the stink field and all that kind of stuff. So, but you know,
I want to chime in on Ty's question about like, okay, why? So going back to the why this versus that, if we're all going to do space, and for me as a new person, it's all the window dressing. The reason Forbidden Lands looks neat and ducks in here, like, oh, this is really neat, check it out. But the reason I'm even more interested in it, or I'm interested in Mutant Year Zero, is this whole concept of building like an outpost or like a fortress or something like that. And so for me, that's like a cheap fucking sell. Like, all you have to do is present something new and interesting to me in a system that just isn't even touched on in another system. And that system, and really that's not the system. I really don't care if I'm rolling a D20 and comparing it against my stat, or if I'm doing a D6 die pool in an alien. It's all these other little window dressing components that this RPG system and rules as a whole is gonna present, and that
it has rules for when raiders attack your castle, for
right? And right. You know what? 5e could throw that rule in there, and that'd be fine. I'd be just as interested.
But it's there, like, are people have written extensions. You know, you can have a whole political system for 5e.
Right. And then that's like this, I go down this, I really want to play a voodoo setting. So then I start diving down, and then now I'm looking at systems that just have, like, I don't even remember what it was, but it was one of the, like, whatever setting vampire and wraith is, there's like a magic setting in that. I think it's mage. Anyways, there's like a voodoo class. So then it's like, well, fuck it, let's go check mage out. I'm like, no, you don't need to do that. But to me, it's like a really good sell. And so now that system matters because it's doing something I'm interested in, even if it's really just flavor. I'm not at the level where I don't really care about the mechanics of the type of die and shit I'm rolling, like the mechanical system, but these kind of extra pieces. And it's just one RPG having it and one RPG not having it. You know, Alien has rules about xenomorphs, and Star Trek doesn't.
Yep.
But Star Trek has Star Trek stuff, so I buy both. And then I don't want Star Trek. And I mean, so for me, that's why I have five spaceship settings, or five spaceships rules, and three fantasy rules.
Well, I'm still searching for the best starship combat system. I mean, that's the holy grail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that with board games too, though. I buy and this was 10 years ago, my company, we got into lean manufacturing, right, and all that.
Heck yeah.
And
just in time, baby.
So I had this thought in my head, like, I could combine my hobby with work and create like a board game we could. And I actually have made board games. They play at work, but of course they're lame because I have to do certain things. But anyway, for quote unquote, and I'm making air quotes here, research, like, I went and bought Kanban and all those board games. I'm like, if it had if I heard it had like some mechanic related to like a manufacturing line or something, I bought it. I'm like, and then I just read the rules. I'm like, what is that mechanic? And I'm just getting this game to figure out how it works. And we might play it, we might not, I don't know. My wife actually is now doing, the lean Kaizen stuff for programming. What the fuck's it called? Anyway. But so she saw, like, we were organizing a game, she saw Kanban, and like, ooh.
I'm like, she's scrumming?
Scrumming, yeah, she's a scrum master. Nice. It has a different name, though. I forget what it's called. Anyway.
We'll have a good scrum.
Yeah.
We have, I think, arrived at the point of the round table where I proceed to talk out of both sides of my mouth. So I am ready to do that.
I'm here for
it. I know that's shocking for everyone to know that this is going to happen. So Art is wrong when he says that system matters really only matters.
He didn't say only.
Mostly.
Okay.
Mostly.
You just want to say Art is wrong, and I'm okay with that. But Art's going to say that I misquoted him, which is also true. Because I can't even remember.
A 9-time convicted felon on that point. I don't know why I feel the need to give Art a false criminal history.
He's probably the most deserving of criminal time of anyone in the guild, I'm sure.
Whoa.
I don't know.
That was sarcasm.
Endlessly enjoyable to me. But systems that strongly associate player advance or character advancement, you know, leveling or whatever, and when you level, you open up new activities, and tie those to gathering experience or gaining experience to get these levels, very much matters to the player, because it basically communicates to the player, if you want to do cool stuff, you must press the buttons that give you XP. And then whatever the game says gives you XP, that's what players are going to do because they want to enjoy the cool stuff. You know, it kind of to use Ty's point, you know, if what he wants to do is kill the dragon, he's got to get to level 20. He's got to get his feats. He's got to get his magic weapon. So how do I do that? Well, you kill stuff in dungeons and loot stuff in dungeons. Yeah. That's what Ty's going to want to do. He's not going to want to talk to the town council about, you know, the bad harvest and what's going to happen because he doesn't get any XP for that. And he's not going to advance because of that.
XP for that.
Well, and so depending on the system.
That's my own take on the system, right? That's the system I'm using, right?
Right. And DCC has an interesting take on XP because it's not for killing things, it's for surviving encounters, which again kind of sends a message to players that living's the important thing, which now suggests, like in a typical fifth edition game, how often do the players run away from an encounter?
Almost
right.
Yeah.
In DCC, I know that we don't do it very often.
You probably should have last time.
Yes, we certainly should have.
Wait, how many of you died? Like 50% of you died. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
But I think it's mostly because of the people we have playing DC.
Yeah. It might have been. And the drunken ramble through the cave. Yeah, that was good.
Most of them have the hold my beer.
It was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So system can be very important to players and impact how they play the game, depending on what the system says about those points. So now Art's right on the point that it probably matters more for the GM because it's going to influence how they run the game or how they try to run the game, depending on how well the rule book actually communicates to the GM how the systems work together.
Right.
I'm going to give you an example of when the rulebook doesn't do a great job.
Let me guess. Does it start with a Z?
It does start with a Z. So in Lyhander, there's something called corruption. Yes, exactly.
Very nice.
And you track corruption. You can gain corruption points. And at the quote-unquote end of a session, the GM rolls a die and you compare your individual corruption score against the die. And if you, quote unquote, succeed, you gain something called an order rank. And once you hit 10 order ranks, you get a fate point, which is basically a get out of jail free card. When you die, you can spend a fate point and not die, things of that nature. If you don't succeed, you gain a chaos rank. And when you get 10 chaos ranks, you get a chaos disorder, some kind of mutation or some other bad thing. And in the section about corruption, there's this paragraph, and pardon me, but I feel like I need to read it verbatim to make my point. Quote, player moral choices are paramount to running a grim and perilous campaign world. These choices should be apparent to the players. Every game session should include at least one situation where the character's goals can be achieved with less than honorable or less than orderly actions. In other words, always offer plenty of options to the players that reduces risk and effort, but as a consequence, at the cost of harming another monetarily, mentally, physically, or socially. So when you read that paragraph, you think, yeah, this game's about moral choices. Is that a fair read?
Yeah.
Okay. So you could play it either way. You could be orderly or you could be chaotic.
Right.
They then give you a list of different offenses and how many points of corruption you might get for them. So there are minor offenses where you get 1 to 3 points of corruption. And an example would be, although it's funny, one of their examples is gaslighting a friend or loved one.
I'm like, really? Wait, gaslighting is wrong?
So anyways. exactly. A middling offense, 4 to 6 corruption. An example, openly mocking the gods. A major offense, 7 to 9 corruption. Desecration of a holy place, premeditated murder. Okay, so these are the things that you do. Now, there's another system in Zweihander, there's a dual system for physical damage and quote unquote mental damage. And they're called the damage track and the peril track. And basically, as you move down these tracks from taking physical damage or failing stress test, things of that nature, you move down the track and they have debilitating effects on you as a player. So let me just go find this other thing. So just bear with me for a second. It's all going to make sense. So if you take a stress test and you fail, on top of moving down that track, you take 3 corruption. If you take a fear test and you fail, you go down the track and you gain 6 corruption. And if you take a terror test and fail, you gain 9 corruption. So basically a test that the GM just throws at you, you can pass or fail, can cause far more corruption than the choices you as a player make during the game about, you know, this way or that. And Duck actually found when you go down the damage track, there's a damage level, but when you hit certain levels, you also roll to see if you acquire a permanent injury. Mm-hmm. When you take the more serious injuries, guess what you get on top of whatever the injury effect is?
Corruption.
So is this a game about the moral choices that the players take? Or is this about, well, look, if you do anything that's risky, you're probably going to get corruption and you're probably going to end up screwed. And nowhere in this rule book does it talk about the interplay between corruption from moral choices versus the corruption you just get from failing tests. So the first session I ran the guys through, I threw a bunch of these stress and fear tests at them to kind of set the tone and teach them about the peril track. And I hadn't grokked the corruption part of it. So I buried these guys in corruption in the first session. And I ended up not applying it because I just thought it was bullshit. And certainly I wouldn't have thrown that many tests at them if I realized failing this test is going to be as important as if a person decides to commit premeditated murder from a mechanical point of view. So system matters because it communicates what we should do, but it also is important, I think, in a system for the designer of the system to point out to the GM how these things interweave and some guidance on how you do these things.
Yeah. And maybe a thinking behind, like, it would be nice to talk, you know, I think the designer's on some forums places, right? He sent me emails before because I was in the Kickstarter. It might be interesting to talk to him and, like, you know, with this very same concern and say, you know, what? But it's probably on some forum somewhere too. So I don't know. Have you done any search? I'm curious to know.
I haven't. I have some concerns that the designer is a pretentious twat. And
there's a little bit of that. Yeah.
They do that.
He's a local guy. I don't think.
Just wait till my game's on Kickstarter.
I've seen him run some stuff at Tabletop. I thought he was nice from what I could tell.
My interactions with him have been nice. I've definitely seen other interactions with him where he is, you know, flamed out. But it's mostly like I've seen, like, he really goes after certain things and, you know, but yeah.
He's got a podcast where he does, they basically record their playtest stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not overwhelmed with him as a GM. So part of what I wonder is, you know, are you really actually stress testing your systems the way you run these games? Trust me, anyone who's been in a game that I've run can probably talk about at least one session where we did not roll the dice a single time during the entire session.
I've done that.
But I'm not designing a system and sending it out into the wild for people to use in different ways. So
wait until ZineQuest. Maybe you will be then.
Yeah, I just
I'm not going to hold it. I mean, yeah. I mean, well, I mean, he did. Yeah, Zweihänder, he's trying to make a professional system. If you haven't run it through its paces, that's a little, yeah, that's not great.
And Zweihänder does some great stuff. So, right. and probably the reason I'm most irritated by its failings is because the things I like, I really like. Mm-hmm. But man, the stuff that I dislike, and I've ranted about this before, but there's a big long session on social intrigue with like a 7-step process to go through. And you get to the end of the process. It basically tells the GM. So then once you see the result, you basically decide what the best decision is based on what would narratively work.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to spend 20 minutes walking through 7 steps.
Yeah, and then at the end, just decide. Like, I could have just decided at the beginning.
Yeah, just roll a d6. Everybody just roll a d6.
Roll a d6.
Have you ever had a die roll not go your way, though, and just say, fuck it?
Well, that, you know, I know, but it's like that. One of the things I really liked about that, and it's obvious, but he goes, and, you know, because it actually applied to my work. Too, because I teach people this all the time, and I'm like, I never really thought about it for role playing games. But he's like, before you do a die roll, think about like, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do if it fails? If one of those things, I'm like, oh, I really don't want that to happen. Don't fucking roll the die.
Right. My example of that is Alien, and if Art, I know you said you would have carried it, but if Art didn't dock the ship, we'd have to have a whole new adventure. Or we'd have to go one system over to the similarly named space system, right?
But not necessarily. Like, I think there was a realm of possibility where he could have failed the piloting role and wrecked the ship into the station.
Right.
We don't die.
Yeah.
But now we've got another problem, which is we have to find whatever we were supposed to find.
You're very...
Plus, we got to fix the ship.
We would have made our way through it. Like, yeah, I really wanted Art to roll that. That's why. But you were totally right. Like, you know, if you're realizing like, oh shit, like I need them to pass this roll, then you're like, okay, I'm going to roll this one for you. And like, hey, look, you passed.
Yeah. So, and I need to apologize. I misspoke. It is not a 7-step social intrigue process. It's a 9-step social intrigue process. And I feel compelled to quote the rule book one more time. As the exchange plays out, there will come a time where all objectives have been realized, risks have been addressed, and points of negotiation come to an end. This is the point where you should wrap up the exchange and determine a resolution. Ultimately, it's up to you to determine the outcome based on the power of the arguments the players made and whether it fits the resolution you feel is best suited for progression of the story. Even if they fail their social tactics checks, but role-played extremely well, reveal enough information to the players so they feel as if they accomplished a few of their goals. Don't let the dice dictate whether they win a social intrigue or lose it.
Huh. So the system doesn't matter there.
Yeah.
What you're saying there is if they did a good job role playing, go with what you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of right. I mean, that's kind of bunk. I mean, I get what he's trying to say there, but then like, what's the point?
I think that's what Rex is saying. Yeah.
Right. No. I'm agreeing with you, Rex. I'm agreeing 100%.
Yeah. So tepid water.
It's one of those things too. I think. And Backdoor hit on this, like there are, like you say, there are things that are really cool in Zweihänder, and I'm happy to like pull those things out and maybe like, you know, I don't mind like kind of bolting them on to other things that I'm doing. I'm like, oh, you know, this mechanic or this, you know, skill set from, you know, or this particular profession from Zweihänder was really cool. I'm going to like bolt that into my DCC game for some reason. Right. So I, you know, if you look at everything, so, you know, I'm not, to me, there is no perfectum, even GURPS. Right?
Or especially.
But GURPS, Yeah, GURPS is very much like you can bolt all kinds of things to it. But it's the same problem you're having with Numenera, where like, okay, I want to run this setting, and like, and Ty walks in and says, okay, I want to be able to, my character wants to be able to fly. Here's the advantage right here. I'm like, no, you can't. Sorry, because we're playing Traveler. You can fly in a hover car, but not on your own. And it's like, oh, this wasn't a super. So that's, you know, it's just like, you know, they, it's a laundry list of stuff, and then all the work's on the GM to kind of narrow it down. So I don't know. So I don't mind bolting stuff together. I kind of enjoy that. But yeah, it is not like your little talk makes me think I might never run Vihander, but that's okay.
Well, and again, I feel bad that, you know, they're market share is going to plummet after this podcast.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the guild shun, but the guild bump is certainly real. So it was a positive, you know.
Yeah.
The guild shun.
So a couple things so that people don't, because I'm continuing to run Zweihander, so I can't obviously hate it. And like I said before, I really like a lot of it. It just frustrates me to no end that the parts that don't work don't work so strongly.
Yeah, I didn't realize it's gloriously bad. Yeah, in those sections.
The
I think if you brought that up to Daniel Fox with like those kind of words, he might get a little pissy.
Yeah, yeah. The character creation is good. It's got awesome section. Amazing section about diseases, as weird as that might sound.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Like it really drives a lot of the grim dark stuff. It's got a really good approach to a D100 resolution system that, no offense, Ty, is a lot easier to understand than critical success in Call of Cthulhu, seventh edition versus enhanced success and all of that. So there's a lot of good stuff there. It's just, and I think the problem is this basically is Warhammer Fantasy first and second edition brought forward. And I think he felt compelled, well, I've got to have social intrigue rules because that's what cool, hip, 21st century role-playing games have. But then he came up with this system that has all these mechanical steps. But at the end, I don't see the point in all the mechanical steps if I'm going to basically ignore the outcome and just go with the story system. And the whole corruption thing, in my mind, I just can't imagine how they play tested that over the long haul and felt like, oh yeah, this is a good balance between stuff the players choose versus stuff that just happens, that's mostly out of their hands. So a lot of good things there. It's just the things that aren't good really bother me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you feel better after venting?
I do.
We're here for you. We helped resolve Jason.
Yeah, you guys got me through. And Ty will be happy to know, instead of buying from lands, I bought a mega dungeon.
Oh, which mega
just now?
Just now, yeah.
Now?
Uh-huh. So I had Forbidden Lands in my Amazon cart. I was like, hey, because I know I'm going to spend money tomorrow on Old School Essentials. So let's just do that. Let me buy a mega dungeon. So I bought Stonehell from Lulu.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Where do you can get a physical copy of that?
Yeah.
Well, Amazon?
Paperback. Lulu.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. He says as he Googles.
Don't read too much, because I'm gonna. Read
oh it. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't. But I like to.
Yeah, you gotta have them.
So I know I just talked a lot, but
yes,
I feel like I have to say more. So interestingly, I was actually laughing when Jason was talking about Old School Essentials because I have almost the exact same reaction to it. I really love it. It's like this beautiful. optimally laid out, perfect, recitation of BX that I don't think I'm ever going to run. But I will actually go tomorrow on the Kickstarter and back the digital stuff just to look at, even though I can't imagine I'm ever going to actually run it. But
I am going to run it. There's a lot in there that it's not ideal. I do like that it gives you the options to do it kind of, you know, ascending or descending Thaco armor classes. I like ascending, but most skill checks are just roll under your skill, which is perfect for me. Just make it nice and easy. There's enough stuff in that book. Although I do want additional character classes from the additional book, but yeah, it's super well laid out. It's very vanilla, but it definitely wants you to play that. Have to track your resources. You have to have a cartographer, or else the game isn't really what that game wants to be, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like what I wanted out of Torchbearer. And I know Caleb did a great job running that, but I don't think he showed off the things that interested me most about Torchbearer, where Torchbearer is this game about survival. Mm-hmm. I think a game run well where you're tracking resources, you're tracking torches, all that stuff would be really fun. I mean, I was going to back it anyways, but now I'm definitely even more double backing.
Yeah, I think Torchbearer and Goldwheel are trying to be kind of indie hip versions of that, but they're so crunchy that there's... I mean, Old School Essentials, it looks like it's going to be super easy to run and super easy to play, which for a dummy like me is really everything I need.
I don't know. Dice pulls. I'm thinking Forbidden Lands is going to be everything everybody wants in a... build your fortress, manage, you know, build your arrows, you know.
I can't wait to see that play
out. I want to build this building for my castle, and that gives me this extra feature, and yeah.
Well, I love the stuff in old AD&D where, like, you get to 8th level and you get followers.
Right, right.
I want followers.
You have a domain. Yep, that stuff's in Old School Essentials.
Oh, boy.
And my sense is that in Forbidden Lands, the players get to that level of play sooner than may happen in AD. So I'm really looking forward to that as well, because I never played AD&D back in the day in a meaningful way. I sat in on a few sessions of a buddy's game, but I never had that long, you know, multi-year campaign. You know, 1 to 20 type experience. So I'm really curious about it. And Forbidden Lands is not going to run like an old school system, but I think it could be really good for that style of play, as long as you're okay with dice pools and things of that nature. So
right, as I read through the mechanics, it seems like they've taken the I want to track resources and this is what matters to me. And they've put a modern Euro-ish kind of, you know, matrix look at it on top of it, you know, with the like, okay, you know, if you're going to try and do this, you know, then, you know, if you're going to push your luck this way, then this other thing's going to languish. Right. So I'm excited for Forbidden Lands.
And
I'm excited for a lot of
them. We should build a tannery.
And speaking of tomorrow, Free Allegiance Twilight 2000 reboot launches tomorrow. Right. Mm-hmm.
Do we know, we can morph into like news. Do we know if that, I mean, I'm on their list and I'm probably back. Are they redoing the mechanics? Do we know?
I feel like they are taking my sense is they're taking the Forbidden Lands mechanics.
Okay. So they're using that. That would be awesome.
That's their very rough framework. Mm-hmm. And then they're moving it over because it's basically a hex crawl, but you have to take into account, you know, modern weapons and things of that nature. But what I'm going to be curious about is whether they mimic all the old material from the original game, or whether they take the basic premise, but then come up with all their own particular storylines and locations and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what they're doing with the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think, I'm paging through the Forbidden Lands book right now. It looks like you can, like, if you clear a dungeon or ruins, you can, like, as soon as you've done that, you can attempt to build a fort there. It's not automatically going to be successful. But no, if you want to build one from scratch, you probably can't do it at the level that characters start at because you have to have a certain number of skills. But if you clear a dungeon, you know, or an old castle or something, there's a chance that you can make that your fortress. Like, and it won't have all the amenities and stuff. And if you have a fortress, it tends to attract attention and, you know, there's downsides. But yeah, it may happen rather fast. And we may go down that path because it sounds like fun.
Give me a fortress deck, please.
You gotta earn it, baby. I mean, you at least gotta clear off a hex. So
yeah, right. I'll eat so much garbage.
But yeah, so I don't know. And you know, Ty's quiet again because we're talking about all kinds of different systems. But
no, I'm reading up on old school essentials. I'm.
Oh,
but you know, if I go that route, though, I'm going to want to sell all my DCC stuff.
Don't do. Oh, you're stop not it. Allowed to leave my DCC game. I have a fucking dragon for you to Ty. I mean, come on.
It's not coming out tomorrow. It's just
no. You well, know. If it came out tomorrow, I mean, we're only on session 14. Like, you don't get to the dragon. You're on. You're maybe close to level 3 now. You're not ready for a dragon.
Get on a dragon now and see. If
here's the other thing that I wish.
A dragon with a PGMP. How about that?
We haven't done enough with ASEA, right? And this is kind of where the hex crawl stuff I was talking about earlier is like part of, I think, the experience that I'm also looking for as a GM is if I'm going to play one of these lore light systems or run them, then I'm also committing to, I think, building a lot more than I've done.
Yeah.
Hey, I've run stuff, but man, like
I've been running an ASEA for, you know,
since
a lot.
Since day one.
Yeah. Everybody else left. All my other GMs left.
I had such high, like I built, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I built like a Google landing page for it. Yep. And like
I don't even remember that. Was that back when Google whatever was a thing? Isn't that gone?
Google Pages? I don't know. Not Google. Pages. Oh, maybe.
Did you get your $12? Did you get your $12 for Google Plus?
I signed up for Google Plus. Authentic. Where's my $2?
But like when we were talking about dwarves, right? Like we were gonna, like Rex and I were.
Yeah, kind Rex's of character like, was like writing the history of the dwarves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the hell is that?
I want more of that. Like not a lot more. Like. To just a million.
Do it in old school essentials.
Wait, guys, don't fight over it. I mean,
I mean, what's to say? Well, but we could run, you know, like why don't we run things in AAC in old school essentials too? I don't care.
Well, I was gonna ask.
It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and
because they're close enough.
It's close enough. We could probably, like, and if people wanted to translate characters between them, like, you know, my method of adjusting things between systems, right? And I'm pulling my finger out of my ass right now.
I was going to say, you kind of put your thumb in the air and squint one eye.
Good. Yep. It's good. I mean, for like monsters, I can't like, now, yeah, weapon stats I are kind of important, but like monsters, people are like, oh, I got to tweak this monster. I'm like, you know, if I've already learned, like, I may have designed this monster and like thought it was going to be a great session. And then maybe the guy killed them with one shot. Like, oops, nope. Like, no, that didn't happen. His weapon only does this much damage. So I like, you know, monsters are like, they're there to provide a challenge to players. I have an idea what their stats are, but it's, you know, I want them to have different tactics. I want them to do different things. I want them to have weird ass attacks, but you know, the exact number of hit points they have, as long as it's a good fight, who cares?
Yeah. Oh, I change hit points all the fucking time. Like,
yeah, of course.
This is the natural. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You want the players to feel the stress of combat, but I don't want them to actually die. Most of the time.
We'll see if I fit through to that with Saltmarsh, because with names like anaphylaxis and colonoscopy, I think I might be bringing the heat.
What? I don't know. I don't know what anaphylaxis. It's a long line of anaphylaxians. It's a long and distinguished family. Oh shit. Well, have we exhausted everything? I can't believe we've exhausted everything. I've heard that system doesn't matter anymore.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
It what probably matters is... more than ever, actually.
Yeah.
We have an embarrassment of riches.
We do. And Ty, you're absolutely right in that, like, we would probably all be better off. There are scientific studies that show, you know, you go to the grocery store now and you know, there's, you know, 50 fucking types of vinegar. I'm like, I just want fucking vinegar, right? That's not good for your brain. Having more choices, like, you know, the idea of our wonderful society is to provide us with all these options and choices, but no, like, people really don't want that, you know, on a very deep level. So you're absolutely right, and yet nonetheless but you're wrong, because I'm sitting in my room of goodness, and I just stare at the shelves and I'm happy, because I'm like, oh, I could The Dark of Hot Springs Island. Well, Rex is going to run that, but man, that's a good looking book. Yeah. I'd like to run
it. It is a good looking book, and I will run it.
Nice.
Once using what's out what I'm. Yeah, that's the hurdle at this point in time. I really OSC. Wow.
Yeah, OSC would work, or we could Forbidden Lands it.
Have you heard of Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition?
Excuse me, but have you? Do you have a moment to talk about Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition?
Our Lord and Savior 5th edition.
Yes. I really want to play Forbidden Lands to see whether I feel like it would be a good fit to run Hot Springs Island. If not, then it's a test between Cypher System, OSC, but also Lamentations of the Flame Princess, which we haven't talked about at all.
Oh, geez.
We would be banned from Twitter.
That guy, yeah. There's some. Oof, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. See, I don't like to know things about people, like, because then, yeah.
That's why I went.
I don't know that there's that much to know about him other than he, you know, he made the decision to stand by a friend of his that he had a close relationship with, who Twitter had decided was a piece of shit and was done with.
Anyway, yeah.
I think life decided he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, I'm looking at my Judges Guild Collector's Edition, and, you know, and that has issues too. So, but not with the original guy with the, you know. Yeah. But yeah, but people are stupid.
I don't think there's anything that Raggy has said or done that is anywhere in the ballpark of what the younger Judges Guild guy has said.
Oh yeah, no. Right. But still, it's just. Icky, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway.
I heard old school essentials.
What did you hear about it?
Hot Springs Island.
For Hot Springs.
Oh, you heard. Yeah, I'd be willing. I mean, I need to maybe call Exalted Funeral. Like, and maybe because, you know, I've got all the extra stuff. That's the only thing I can think of is, like, why are people. You just ordered it, right, in stock?
No, I pre-ordered it.
Okay. All right. Well, if you pre-ordered it, that's fine. Yeah. I don't mind not being the first pre-order.
So, Duck, are you saying that if I decide to run Hot Springs Isle with Island with Lamentations, that you're going to boycott it?
No, I'd play.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I like to pretend I mean, these guys make, but I mean, I still like, what's the book, with the guy who plays the game and destroys the aliens and all that shit. I mean, and that guy's a total douchebag, that author. So,
Ender's Game. This one,
Ender's Game. Yeah. It's a great book and I still enjoy it. And you know, I mean, I liked it as a kid. It's not as great as an adult, but it's still a good book.
Holds up.
I think it holds up.
It holds up for the most part. Right. But yeah. But then I just don't want to know. Cause I'm like, it's just gonna taint it a little bit. I'll still do it, but I'm like, Jesus. Anyway. I don't know.
What do you think the Lamentations publisher actually said or did?
No, and I know it's not the main Lamentations guy. It's the guy, it's one of the, he wrote a bunch of, there, I don't
it's
know.
Zach.
Yeah, it's Zach.
The D&D with porn stars guy.
Right.
So, yeah,
But they cut ties from him, though.
He soft cut ties and played
into
it.
The whole Lamentations thing is it's a little skeezy. All the books that they write, there's a lot of boobs, which I don't know why that bothers. I don't know.
Because they're not prepubescent boobs on Asian girls. Is that why?
Maybe. Yeah. There's no tentacles. There are tentacles, perhaps. But anyway.
Ty's like, what did I get myself into?
I know.
I like boobs.
Exactly.
I don't know. I would play anything.
Going back to the Hot Springs Island thing, that is one of those things that if there was, and DCC was supposed to be it, and I know that I'm straying, being able to run, because you could do, anything in DCC, right? You could run White Rock, you can run Salton Marshes, you could run Hot Springs Island. Sure. So having that kind of share, and I think that's kind of why I'm looking for that system that really does it for me. I'm looking for my Call of Cthulhu to then
I
say,
don't even okay, well, I strayed from Call of Cthulhu. There's nothing sacred in the world anymore.
No. But, I'm looking for that thing to say, okay, I could, whatever in this. Because I have thousands of these little, one-room dungeons, or not one-page dungeons. All these little adventures. And then it becomes, then you just have
Maybe you're not meant for commitment, Jason. Maybe you're just a one-shot guy your whole life.
I'm a serial monogamous.
Yes.
I want three sessions in one game and then move on.
And then move on. That Jersey 83 is perfect for you then, right?
Exactly.
There's no reason why can't AAC be like Jersey 83, right? We're not committed to one system in that. It's just a common setting. It's the setting that matters.
OSC.
Yeah.
We
build I'm perfectly fine taking Hot Springs Island and dumping it off of the continent.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole goal of AFC in my mind was that we could take characters between, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've done that a little bit. Like Ty's characters came from another funnel into White Rock. But we need to take advantage of that more. Like, if you want to run something in AAC adjacent, I want my fucking... I want my DCC character from your campaign to keep going, right? Because I liked that guy, so...
Then we have all the spells more or less figured out, and porting them over wouldn't be very hard.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm not running Hot Springs with DCC.
That's fine.
No, that's what he's saying.
The magic in DCC is not Hot Springs appropriate. So,
right, because system matters. Yeah. So, that is the one weird thing. If we're running it in a common setting, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's, we can always do something cheesy like the fantasy trip world where there's like little sphere. I don't know. But, maybe Hot Springs Island is the rules of the world change slightly. I think that's okay. But then if we want to port a character in there, we'll have to figure out how that works, I guess. But that's okay. We can figure that shit out. We can figure that shit out. I like it.
So I'll add that to next year's list. That'll happen next year.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'll actually even say that will happen with greater likelihood than Conan or L5R happens.
That makes me happy because Hot Springs Island and even Lamentations appeals to me. Like Conan was somewhat interesting, but I don't know. Legend of the Five Rings.
Hot Springs Island is so cool.
I don't know. Legend of the Five Rings has the sexiest cover. So, I don't know.
I would love to play Hot Springs Island for sure. That that's always recommended as one of those best.
Right. Best things to play. And it's a hex crawl tie.
It is.
Yeah.
It is
Hot Springs Island. Okay.
The Dark of Hot Springs Island.
Yeah. Technically the Dark of Hot Springs Island.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Look it up. You would dig it as a hex crawl. I have Death Robot Jungle.
Oh, did you get that?
I did.
Are you a vinyl guy?
No, I don't. I just got it because I mean, it comes with you get the digital files also. I don't have a way to play the vinyl, but I wanted the adventure, and it's really strange. Yeah, but I figured, oh, a one shot one night. We go to Death Robot Jungle. I would do it. I would do it. I mean, that's system neutral too, so that might be old school essentials or DCC. Who knows? MCC maybe. But maybe.
I like framing it of opening ASIA to not just be DCC.
Yeah, I think I mean, when you have these troubles,
we have.
Yeah, we need to have group therapy sessions.
Literally, why I showed up.
Yes, thank you.
You got me through my DCC OSE thing. Yeah, you know, you're kind of getting the. Yep. You got me through the scheduling hurdle a couple months ago.
That's what we're here for.
That's why I come.
We're a support group. Yeah. I mean, I want you to have fun role playing and, be doing the things you enjoy and be buying the things you want.
I'm Jason to buy all the dumb shit.
My name is Duck. And I have a problem.
3 days. Yeah. It's the first step.
Ty, I feel like I should pass along to you that I've heard a lot of Call of Cthulhu murmurings. From several people.
Yeah, that's great.
Like Rich Trapeer is talking about running it in the guild. Matt Allen's mentioned it a few times. Yep. And I've been going Hollywood. On a deep, deep buying spree of Call of Cthulhu.
Would you play Call of Cthulhu, Ty?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
That's what I mentioned. I thought that was like your jam.
Yeah, I mean I love to run it. You know, I think it was you, Backdoorth had asked me about one of the books. And so that is part of it. Like if some of that stuff's been out for so long, it's kind of like, okay, what have I read and come across? And, you know, like if I couldn't play in Masks, you know, cause I just know too much about it.
Right.
I'd play in I'm looking for Cthulhu stuff.
Nice. There you go. Synergy.
I'm looking to run more too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think if you put a Call of Cthulhu game down, you would have plenty of players. But even if you stay within the systems, you still have to, you know, prioritize what you want to run and play. I think. Yeah, and I'm fine. I am running up against I'm probably in too much because, you know, I'll do a doodle. And then, you know, someone else will, Rex will wait a couple weeks and then the person will say, oh, I picked this date. I'm like, yeah, that was good for me when I filled out the doodle.
Why are you bringing up old shit?
Yeah. But now, so, yeah.
Let me tell you about reoccurring dates.
I know, I think you need to back off, dude. I think and we talked about this in the roundtable last night. Where reoccurring dates are going to involve, there's going to be a pledge level if you want a reoccurring date to the cabal, and you know, we can have an auction system, but you don't just get them. I think those are too valuable.
Yeah. Well, no one else is using them until.
Yeah. I'm just saying, there's reoccurring dates.
Or you schedule them far enough out that people could commit to them before they start committing to other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I just keep pushing it out. And that's why, White Rock is... I've started trying to do the doodle even, a little bit before the session, which every time John gets confused, are we still going? I'm like, yeah, I'm just doing the doodle ahead of time.
I started... I'll schedule a doodle out for a month, and I'll pick two dates at a time.
Yeah, I did that. I've done that with Oddity High and Legacy. And Legacy, because I have six players, and we can play with three or four. So I figure, and not everyone could do either. You know, there was no date. So I'm like, I'll just pick two dates and people can pop in and pop out. I think that's a good, I like it when you have systems where you can run pretty easily without everyone. When, especially with six players, that could be a roundtable topic sometime. Oh my god, the madness of six player running a six player campaign. For DCC, for some reason, it's six players, and some people have three. Rex is just problem child all the way. Like, yes, he and is. I don't know. Somehow we still managed to, like, and it seems like everybody kind of gets a chance to do shit. So I don't know. I don't know why DCC works. And yet, I don't know.
In my defense, I only have three characters because the GM pointed out we don't really have any magic.
He had one magic user.
Does anybody else want a magic user? I'm like, sure, I'll make a magic user and come up with a story.
I know.
And I have a terrible character who I've been waiting to see die.
Me too.
And yet, how many times that fucking character, like, critted and saved the day? Like, he is a monster. Yeah.
He's a horrible character, but...
Yeah, his stats are horrible, but yeah. He just shoots lights out of shit. Yeah, it's great.
But
I even tried to kill him for you that one time, remember? I tried to push him off the cliff.
I'm going to call Pumpkin Time because it's getting close to midnight.
I'm just extending it because I don't want to end it. But, you know,
exactly.
I love this.
That's why I just play through Call of Cthulhu. Like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, this system, something matters, not, you know, get wrecked.
Now I'm looking at a fucking RPG where you role play as wolves. And so, like,
what could go wrong?
It's time to call it.
It's good stuff. All right,
boys.
Yep.
It was good.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, everyone.
I enjoyed it a lot. And we'll see you when we
on the flip side.
On the flip side. There you go.
It was see a lot of fun. You at the gaming table.
Nice. There you go.
Nice.
Night, boys.
All right, boys.
Good night.
On our Wormwood gaming table.
Wormwood. Yeah.
Exactly.
Official fun. Yes, where's my $2?
Party at Rex's.
Woohoo! All right.